Greetings from Podcastville. It's Monday, July 29th. Get your motherfucking shit together. Half the year is over, and you're still sitting there fucking waiting for your cousin to get you. He's going to get me a job. Go fuck you and your cousin. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by CBDLion.com. Listen to me. No more liquor store fucking CBDs. You go into a fucking record store, they got CDs, CBDs. And what do you expect you're buying? What do you think you're fucking buying? You're buying shit. That's what you're buying. Listen, Uncle Joey's here to tell you the way to go is CBD Lion. You're lucky you motherfuckers got me and I found CBD Lion. You know why? Because they make CBD products from start to motherfucking finish. CBD Lion's got you covered. Whether you want to smoke it in a vape, in a cartridge, or in a shatter, whether you want to eat a gummy bear or do the tincture. Your Uncle Joey lives on the tinctures. Do me a favor. Go to CBDLion.com right now, no pressure, and check out their third-party lab results for yourself. Then get back to me. You understand me? I wouldn't fucking put a CBD on here that I didn't believe in 100%. Go to CBDLion.com right now. I'm pressing Church, C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 20% off at checkout. The Church of What's Happening Now is also brought to you by, listen, go look at the mirror. Go look at your nuts, what they look like. They look like the front of the Munster's house. You understand me? There's bushes. There's three different colors. And then you cry. I go on Tinder and I can't find nobody yet. I'll swat left for fucking life the more I see you. You understand me? You got to fucking take care of your nuts. You got to keep them nice and shaved. You see that new commercial with the woman's razors, how they stand in front of a plant and they each got a heart like a little stick and it insinuates that the woman shaves? That means you too, you filthy fucking nut. Why have your balls smelling like a fucking elephant's asshole? Uncle Joey's here to tell you to be a gentleman. You got to clean the bumper before she sucks the fucking tailpipe. Really? No shit. Listen, my friends over at Manscaped created the only tool you need to shave your nutsack and the area around the fucking pogo stick. It's called the Lawnmower 2.0 for a fucking reason. They threw away the 1.0 and they upgraded the trimmer so it's skin-safe technology. You understand me? Listen, they got a thing called the Perfect Package. It's a little pouch. You'll be fucking covered for life. It's got everything in there. Your little cock will look like a fucking... You have apocalyptos bending down and shit like fucking... It's apocalypto day. It must be the second Monday in January. But listen, fuck all that shit. Right now, the family of the church family, gets another 20% off your first order when you use promo code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H, at manscaped.com. And if you order the Perfect Package, they'll also throw in a free travel bag when you use code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H. Trim those fucking nuts. That's manscaped.com. Use promo code CHURCH for 20% off your first order and keep your balls fucking clean. Kick this motherfucking mule, Lee.
What do we get for $10? Everything you want.
It's Monday morning, motherfuckers.
Everything.
We're not pulling out today. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Oh yeah. Monday the 29th of July, cocksuckers. This is your new thing. If you're on, what's the thing where you get sex?
Tinder.
Tinder. This is your new catchphrase. You ready? This is it right here. Sitting at home with my dick, I'm hard. I got the black book for my freak to call. That's it. Whitney Cummings, the Christ killer. Uncle Joey. You down with it? I arrived at a house. Knocked on the door. Not having no idea I wasn't at the store. I'm like a dog in heat, a freak without warning. My appetite for sex does me so horny. Oh,
so horny.
What?
So horny. Been off you long time.
What?
So horny.
It's Monday morning, cocksuckers. Whitney Cummings, here's the deal with the wedding.
You're the fucking best.
Okay, I've been following weddings for years.
Have you?
Yeah, I love weddings. Because,
do you?
Well, okay, let's take it back to my favorite wedding of all time is The Godfather.
Yeah.
That's a wedding. Mm-hmm. Your father, you dance, all your friends, tons of food. You invite a singer to sing, whatever mm-hmm. the fuck, bands. And the kids. And that's a wedding, but yeah. that's not going to happen no more in this country. So what are you going to do? I want to. What was the fat black chick from The View that got married?
Monique? Sherry Shepherd?
The first one.
Oh, Sherry Shepherd.
No, was there was her? One before her that got married.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oprah looking motherfucker. Got married, pigeons. All the black people had it dressed in white. He was fucking he was fucking the janitor, you know, the whole time.
Sherry Shepherd.
That was a different one. There was one before her that did that. So the more money you spend on your wedding,
the more likely that you are going
bullshit.
To. Yep, I totally agree.
I don't want to see you kissing.
No,
Scarlett Jones.
Oh fuck! That I forgot
chubby
about
little
her.
Bitch spent $8 million.
She's a lawyer, right?
Yes, like she spent $1 million on a wedding.
Here. What are you trying to prove?
You could see Joe Mambo didn't give a fuck.
I have to listen to your relatives bomb with their shitty speeches. No.
And then it's a lot. Everybody had to dress them white, and they released 100 pigeons. Those weddings, I give them a year. Eva Longoria and the black dude from the San Antonio Spurs.
Tony Parker
got married on a ranch, and they shot grenades.
What are you trying to prove?
Well, keep it simple.
Yeah, it's a little
extra.
You
know what, man? You know what? Hmm. You got three friends you owe it to.
Yep.
That would be heartbroken if they didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom, your grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, if I was you, you're from the nation's capital. Yeah. I would get married at the nation's capital real easy.
The White House? On the lawn, out front.
Too faggy. No, a little bit more class.
What are the flowers, the trees?
No, no, no.
Cherry blossoms.
Cherry blossoms.
You know, try and blossom. So I got married on a Wednesday.
Here's
my reasoning for this.
Because I don't want to have my friends are all comics. I don't want them to have to travel. They're one weekend off.
Don't make nobody travel.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it to me, but we do. We travel for
too much. I want to do it so comics can just go home.
As a matter of fact, fuck comics. I just told you that.
These are my only friends.
You got three girl female comics.
Yeah.
You got Chelsea. You got another one that you're friends with. Maybe one of your girlfriends from high school.
Yeah.
Your parents, your grandparents, mm-hmm. this guy, his fucking parents. And nobody needs to know nothing.
Yeah. Everyone's dead, though.
I don't want to take a picture. You know, I don't want to see the picture. You want the picture?
Is this
the
you
truth.
Preparing me for the fact that you're not coming to my wedding?
No.
This feels really, like an elaborate.
Really, do you really want the pictures from your wedding in People magazine? I mean, tell me the truth.
If they pay money, I would do it.
If they give you $1 million to cover your spread,
I'm mercenary like
what
that.
What was the? Didn't
I don't
Kardashian
have a price.
Marry the dude and they gave $1 million and she divorced the dude?
And
he lost his NBA career. The little faggy white
That's
dude.
That's like everyone.
Oh, Chris.
Yes.
Humphries.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'll fucking for $1 million. I'll do anything. I'll do literally anything.
Like she married him, but somebody paid for the wedding off the books. They had the first crack at the
one of the
wedding.
Magazines.
Oh yeah, yeah. You get the rights to the photos.
The rights to the
I'm
photos.
Not that famous, but if they paid money for photos, I'd get. We give them away for free on Instagram. Why not get money for them?
But they did the wedding for that reason, and you're gonna have the wedding regardless.
No, I think they did it on the reality show. Also, it was
probably
filmed for the show. They needed a finale.
You know, I looked at it the first time I got married. It was great, but
where was it?
Boulder.
Oh, gorgeous.
I got married in Boulder.
Where?
My gorilla. At a hotel.
Uh-huh.
A real nice hotel by Chautauqua, the whole thing. But the problem was my gorilla buddies from Jersey came. And it was the day that Colorado played Nebraska. And
fuck.
And in Colorado, you know, rule number one, take notes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get married during baseball football season if you want people to go.
Okay, that's
rule
that is
one.
Actually fucking great advice.
That's rule number one. Don't get married during football
season. No one's given me that
don't
advice.
Don't get married during the Yankee Red Sox weekend.
Nope, bad idea.
Because people are going to come to your wedding.
And they're going to be on their phones.
Kiss, say you look beautiful, and then mm-hmm. you're going to do what my friends did. Is there a bar over there? Is there a TV? No. Guess what my gorilla buddy did? He coked up out of his mind in front of my in-laws, took the fucking bellman, gave him a yardstick, made him go to fucking Home Depot and get an extension cord. And he went upstairs, rented a room, brought the TV down to the fucking table at the wedding and connected it.
That's
and me and my buddies watched Nebraska,
so
Colorado with half the wedding. And she's dancing, you know, Natty's little girl. Nobody gave a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck
so
about Natty's little girl.
Funny.
The score is 13-13. You got to cover by three. That's all I'm worried about.
That's so
I don't give a
what
fuck.
What day of the week does baseball
Saturday.
Come? Saturday.
Well,
yeah.
No, college football Saturday.
So, yeah, the whole
so you're fucked if Ohio State's playing,
what
you know.
Yeah, Duke.
Duke or one of anybody. Yeah. You know, any of those motherfuckers, you're done.
What about Sundays?
That's NFL.
That's NFL.
So what time? Is that why you do
all day?
Do it
all
at
day.
9 a.m.?
All day.
You do a nighttime one.
Everyone's wasted. No, everyone's fucking wasted and angry. And
I remember more women get beat up on Sundays.
That's right.
After the NFL.
Because they walk in the front of the TV.
You don't want to get married. He bet Pittsburgh. Messina, you got to
I don't want to get my ass kicked on my wedding day. Yeah, no,
so
I don't.
You don't want that. So.
Okay, so what months do I have available to get married?
June,
December,
April, May, and June. Because okay. It's not hot in the D.C. area.
Right. I don't think I don't have any. There's nothing left for me in D.C.
Okay, then fuck D.C.
Because I don't want all my friends to have to go there. Yeah, we'll do it. And we'll do it in right L.A. Here. We'll Sportsman's Lodge.
No,
I'm kidding. No. That was one of the first places I did stand up was Sportsman's Lodge. There used to be a Friday, a Saturday open mic
still
show.
Is
there? And it was outside on a patio.
They
so
do something still there.
You'd have to time your jokes in between cars driving by, so you'd have to get your punchline on the red light.
I'm at Santa Barbara.
Gorgeous. Overpriced a little bit to me.
I still don't got to pay for a plane ticket. The odds.
That's right. You can drive and you can drive home that night.
Who would come home? They got a fucking restaurant next to you're gonna cater it from the Italian restaurant.
There's one
underneath the Best Western Hotel. Best Italian restaurant in town. They give you lasagna with a meatball in the middle.
Oh,
they got
yes,
the
please.
Spaghetti with the ink,
the squid?
Squid ink in it.
What's it
the
called?
Real dink. I forget the name of the restaurant.
Out. Santa Barbara people like, Ojai people really like, but it caught on fire. A friend of mine had to move her whole wedding because it caught on fire.
All right, then we go Orange County.
That's not a bad idea. La Jolla. Everyone could go to spots after?
I said Orange County. I didn't say La Jolla.
No. Oh, Irvine?
Nobody could do spots.
That's what maybe La Jolla and we can have a show wedding. That night and comics, all the addicts that need to go fucking get on stage.
No, it's your wedding. Don't come here. If you want to do comedy, go fuck your mother.
I'm not like,
go fuck your mother, okay?
I'm not a big wedding person. Me neither. I'm just
but
I don't
it's
get
your
it.
Special day. I wouldn't want to come up to you at 7 and go, I gotta go.
I feel like
I got a 6-year-old. I gotta go.
I feel like it's gonna be like a roast where everyone gets to get up and like a party. No? Why not? Why not? Or do it during the day so people can bring their kids.
Listen to what I did. I looked at my wife. I
go, which one? The Denver
the
one?
Second one.
Which was here?
The second one I did here. Okay. I went to Wilshire's little chapel.
Oh.
Right on Wilson La Brea. They make it look like the St. Patrick's Cathedral.
I've seen it. They
have AA
meetings
there. Your parents don't even know. They'll think you're like, oh my God, she's in Italy. Yeah, Italy, good. You walk in, you get your friends. We went from there.
How many people did you have?
Maybe 4. I had a good little girl who my wife went to see today. She's 12 or 13, was a flower girl.
Aww.
And we got married down there. And then we had the reception at the Hollywood Bowl because my wife worked at the Hollywood Bowl. So they gave her the house. It's a special house where the bands could sit in
and cook.
A lot of people don't know that, right?
Never heard of it.
I had it there. I got simplicity. Pastrami from Langer's. With the fucking bread. So there's no bullshit, no Wolfgang Puck, none of that. I got fried chicken from Ralph's.
Yes, please.
In the certain Ralph's. In Hollywood, the black dude makes the best.
The one on the Rock and Roll Ralph's?
Yep. He used to make the best. He would make it for you fresh and fish. He would fry the fish up. And I also went to El Cochinito and got a cabinet with Cuban pork chunks with white rice, black beans, and bananas. Okay. So everybody had something to
check. Did your wife have any resistance to this plan?
No.
Zero.
I made it on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's smart as shit.
So everybody could come.
Oh, that's
I got
really
married
smart.
At 1, and at 7, I wanted you out.
No one had to take off
I
work.
I was home by 8 o'clock, and number one, I don't want you dressed up, and please don't bring a gift. Your presence is more important to me than some stupid gift.
And who officiated?
The fucking guy down there.
Just whoever.
A friend of mine came from Jersey, and we went down there, and then we all went to the thing. I was clean then, and we smoked tons of pot. And we just, Rogan showed, Eddie Bravo, Red Band, Felipe, Ralphie.
See, I like that. I just want simple.
It was fun.
I don't even want fucking pressure in my life.
But that was the main thing I sent out on the emails. No gifts.
Mm-hmm. I don't like, gifts make me uncomfortable.
Me too.
And I gotta pretend, it's like, makes me feel like I have to perform.
Yeah, no, and then they get that other thing where they, I gotta buy you a glass at a fucking mall. At the Woodland Hills
with
Mall.
With your name on?
Yeah, for $23,000.
Hey, I like the Woodland Hills Mall.
No, I like the Woodland Hills Mall.
No, it's the corny
what's
glasses.
That, what's that called when you get registered?
Things remembered?
No, when you get registered.
Registry.
So, you know, I'd rather give Whitney a yard, a couple thousand for a wedding. No, Whitney wants... these fucking four sunglasses.
I'm not that person at all.
So that's what I'm saying. So you have to decide.
If I want something, I have it.
What you want to do.
I get what, you know.
I would hate for you to have this big, illustrious $1 million wedding.
Never. Would never.
And then a year find out you don't like the fucking guy.
Would never. So. Well, here's the thing. That's the thing. I like him. If I spend a bunch of money on the wedding, I'll stop. This is, you know, I just think that it makes future resentments.
I'm going to remarry my wife.
Rooster Teeth Feathers?
Oh, yeah.
Let's plan it.
No, I'm going to marry her somewhere around there on the first.
The Magic Bag in Detroit?
To make a 20-year. I like that place.
Yeah, me too. That's a dope theater. Place. Me too.
I'm marrying her.
Can we plan it?
20-year. No.
Please?
No,
me and Rogan can plan it?
I don't want anybody there.
I was going to say, if anyone's invited, he'll tell them that day. He'll like, come over at 3.
Yeah, I'll tell them that
day. Ha Ha Cafe, 2:15.
That's what I do. I do everything that day so I don't put pressure on you.
That's the most possible pressure. Jump down the fireman's pole and get to my renewal of my vows.
It's so fucking crazy. I just want to do it with her. Have the baby there so she gets to see it. Mm. You know, so she gets to always remember how much her dad loved the mom in case something happens.
Come on.
Yeah, man. And that's
Come on.
20-year anniversary. Why not?
Where? Where are you going to do it?
I don't know. We'll decide. We'll burn that bridge.
You could do it at my house.
No, I haven't even thought about it. Oh. Like, we just discussed it this year because I thought we were together 20 years.
That's wild.
It's next year.
Oh, God. I'll give some time.
So we'll be married for 10.
Uh-huh. But
together for 20.
How do you stay married that long? What is the secret?
I was married when I was young and I hated it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a sucker's thing. I thought that a woman, the truth, you want to throw the cards on the table? If I married you, Whitney, it's because I knew you were going to cook and do laundry and I could ask you to fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what came with it, what responsibility as a man, what responsibility came. And then I ended up homeless with no kid. I lost my kid. And you realize what it is. It's 50-50.
Yep.
I didn't start making money with my comedy until I started asking her for advice.
Wild.
Because we're whores. So, and then we ask, who do we ask for advice? Other whores.
Yes, that's
comedians.
So true.
So you got to ask somebody who's out of the business looked at you and go, what do they want to pay you to do what?
That's insane.
Tell them to go fuck themselves. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but it's NBC. Tell them
it's
to go
so
fuck themselves.
True.
So when you
but
have,
he's my agent. He's allowed to talk to me like that.
Who's that?
No, I just mean like, you're like, why would you ever let someone treat you like that? Because they're an agent and we need, like, just the dumb, like,
my
fucking.
My wife called, like, if I fuck up, my wife calls me Spider. Like, from Goodfellas, the guy who got shot. She's like, you're fucking up, Spider. Go get it handled, you know, like. So she's.
You need
been,
a sane person's point of view.
So, yeah. No, I want to just. What was the question?
How do you stay married?
Stay married. 20 years. That's fucking insane.
I give her the respect she deserves. I still do the date nights. I don't do stupid things with my friends. Like, I you know, guys who go on trips.
You think about, you think ahead of time of, like,
3 days
what's the aftermath of my choices.
You know, then I see the guy a year later, I'm getting divorced, or my wife cheated on me. Well, next time you go play softball with the guys, you're a grown fucking man.
Yeah.
You had from 0 to 20 to do all the athletes you
yes,
wanted.
Yes, yes, yeah.
You sucked dick at it. Now you want to play flag football when you're 40. Your wife gave birth 10 years ago.
That's right.
Once you're married for 10 years, the pussy gets way better. Remember, the
really?
Pussy. Oh, yeah, because no more outside condoms, no more fucking stress. Once I marry you, once you start dating somebody and you're with them 10 years, the pussy is tremendous.
What about the butthole?
I don't fuck my wife in the ass. That's disgusting. So 20 years, the pussy's even better. It's used to you.
It's like a Tempur-Pedic.
You know, when you first meet a girl and you go down on them and you sniff that pussy, it sniffs tremendous, but it's got like outside odors. You can smell like different condom
Chowders.
Brands and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Like toilet
that
seats.
That guy used fucking...
Dracar Noir.
Yeah. But then the more you're with her...
The pH starts to adjust to Uncle Joey.
And the pussy gets tighter. It adjusts. It gets like, it's like fucking the, it's like putting your hand in the Hollywood Wall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? You put your hand in it.
It's like a baseball mitt
women,
that
women
starts
get,
to memorize
women
your
like
hand.
Women are like a fine wine. Oh. Especially when they stay with the same man for all those years. When you
I'm like
a
cheap tequila.
But then when the husband dies, that pussy's tremendous. And she's 50-52. And she's out of Dan Tanner's T-bone steak giving that hot pussy out. You
that
gotta
monkey.
Be kidding me. Because now that's the problem. He's 51. you know, in Cuban, you call them medio tiempos.
What's that?
Midway. They're at the midway point.
Oh, my God.
These medio tiempos. That pussy's good. They can compete with 30-year-olds.
Really?
Oh, those 50-year-olds that have been married from 18 to 30.
Because there's not all sorts of miscellaneous dicks.
No. They had a divorce, and for 4 years, they didn't think they had it. And then now they started going to the gym and yoga.
Get the Kegels
in. Those 50-year-olds. How many 50-year-olds do you know in Hollywood?
Uh-huh.
That, Jennifer Aniston's about to push 50. Shit.
Jennifer Lopez just turned 50 as well.
They're not looking back.
Slamming.
And yes, there's things that go on there, but
50 is the new 20.
She doesn't drink alcohol. She exercises.
Yeah, yeah. You really start taking care of yourself at 40.
You start taking care of yourself. You understand that you can't do 5 shows unless you're in great shape. You cannot go up on stage if I'm tired.
A lot of people are in better shape at 50 now than 20.
I went to jiu-jitsu today. I didn't need to go to jiu-jitsu today.
No.
I rolled twice. It was fucking 97 degrees. I'm like, but when I got up, my gi was drenched. My underwears were drenched.
Yeah.
You know, you get that old out. Everything helps.
Yeah.
Everything helps because we have to actually do 2 hours a night. An hour show, you're standing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everything fucking helps.
This tour was the first time I really was like, oh shit, you gotta, like, this is the first tour I've ever brought my own microphone, which I know is corny and everyone's gonna make fun of me. I never did it in LA.
What? Why?
Because I kept getting sick.
Yes. Yes,
and I was so embarrassed because I had seen someone. Do you remember there used to be a guy that came around the Comedy Store who brought a microphone on stage with a speaker? And everyone used to clown him so hard. I think it was more like the open mic circuit. You probably never met him. And I kept getting bronchitis. And I never had that before. And I don't know if it was because I was flying or I was just trying to do too much. I also was doing clubs this round and doing like 6 shows a weekend. You remember, I was doing like 5 o'clock shows, 7:15 show, 9:30 show. So I just started getting sick. And so I brought my own microphone and a doctor pointed it out. He was just like, do you share microphones with 300 road comics? Like, I have like a microphone down my throat that says Bobby Lee's ball sweat on it. Of course I was getting sick. So I started bringing my own microphone and that actually really helped.
What kind of mic did you get? That's a good idea.
I don't remember. I was so embarrassed. But I mean, my opener could use it. It wasn't like a thing. But I just brought it with me in my bag and put it up. And I don't remember the brand. I can send it to you.
Okay, please.
It was great.
That's a great idea.
I haven't gotten sick since.
I'm very worried. That's one thing that worries me a lot about having something going on the road and you could smell the flu.
Dude, it happens to comics all the time. You see someone like, and you're like, well, go home. Mm-hmm. What? You're going to get everybody sick. One person's got strep throat. Everyone's got fucking strep throat.
No, but if I had to really, really talk about the keys, I mean, we struggled the first 6 years, like anybody other couple, finding your identity.
Were you touring a lot at the time?
Yeah, I had no respect for her whatsoever. Birthdays, Christmas.
You got to have ritual. It's like, you got to figure out what, and I think everyone every woman values something different. I value stuff like that. I didn't have holidays growing up. Birthdays weren't celebrated. Christmas was, everyone was fighting. So now it means a lot to me. And sometimes I know it's stupid, but like a real birthday dinner just means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter why. Let's just do something fucking special and it'll save us 2 months of fighting. You know, sometimes you just got to just do it.
I've been here a long time and I saw comics come, go, but I also saw how comics ended relationships. I've seen a lot of relationships end. And I look at, and no matter how much amount of money, the relationship ends. Usually a relationship ends because of stress over money. These couples have always had money. So what was it that was missing? It's time.
Together.
I love going on the road. I really do. I really do. But I have a 6-year-old. And like I was going to go to Miami Thanksgiving weekend, which I'm still going.
Palm Beach Improv?
No.
Or the Miami Improv. Love.
I was going to do a theater. And I go, let me just do the club.
Yeah.
Do 6 sets and do it great.
It's
great. But I was going to go down Wednesday. See, this is what I do now. I was going to go down Wednesday, sell out 2 shows.
Yeah.
Thursday, who gives a fuck? Go to Boston Market. We don't care about Turkey. And then Friday and Saturday, do 2 apiece. And I go, you know what? Is the change I'm going to make Wednesday worth it being away from my daughter for Thanksgiving? She's going to be in bed at 8:30, so I'm taking a 10 o'clock red eye. And I get to Miami at 6, Southwest. Mint.
JetBlue Mint.
JetBlue Mint.
Forget it. Over.
I got my own. I got 4A.
Flying private.
I'm by myself.
Yep.
I shoot down.
Me. Nice shirt.
And I got the other one. I got the yeah, it's two and
get
four.
Get the little spritzer, the little mint spritzer. I'm getting the little bag with the lotion.
And I got the plane ticket back just in case I want to come back because I'm in New York Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? I'm going to come all the way back to do two podcasts. And then I go, maybe I'll do Sunday in Miami, wake up late, check out late, take like a 1 o'clock flight to the city,
yeah.
get into New York at four, get something to eat, sleep, and then Tuesday do all that serious radio.
Yeah.
And then do Town Hall Friday. That's a thought.
Yes.
That's a thought. That's what my thinking was.
For Thanksgiving.
But I don't want to be gone past the holiday. These little things I have to do because I have a family.
Are you in your relationship kind of like I am a little bit of a loner, like just by nature? I think that's part of the reason I'm good at touring and like I don't get that lonely on the road.
Me too. No, me
I just don't. And I think sometimes when I'm touring a lot and I come home, I still sort of feel like I'm alone in a hotel. And my dude will be like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, it takes me a second to adjust. I need a lot of alone time, which is maybe part of the reason I can be a stand up, you know? So that is something that I think we struggle with a lot.
I'm an only child, just oh, okay. like you. So I like my, like I hate when I walk in the house and they both attack.
That's right. I'm like, give me okay. 10 minutes.
I love my daughter and I love him. But if I go to do kickboxing for an hour and I get back at 10:30.
I need a minute.
From 9 to 10:30 in the morning, everybody's calling. When I walk, as soon as I get in the car, I'm just hitting the phone. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up? You have an audition. Hey, what's up? We got to push the meeting back. Hey, what's up? So when I walk in, I got to start sending emails, and they both jump me. So Sundays, they both go to church. Mm-hmm. They leave at fucking 9:30. So I take the first flight out. So I walk in at 10. So I got from 10 to 1 by myself. I emptied my suitcase.
Yeah, I just need to be alone.
I give myself an hour. I go on YouTube and watch 3 videos.
Yeah.
Even though I have my wife and my daughter, I love them very much, my wife knows I need my shit. And my wife needs her shit.
Yeah.
After we eat dinner.
You got to need the same shit at the same time.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Like next week, I'm not going out. Because I got to go to the Borgata the following week.
Yeah.
I'm going out tonight. So I go out tonight, Tuesday, and then Thursday,
Friday. When you're in town, do you go out and do shows every night?
No. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Wow.
Mondays her, Wednesdays are theirs.
How did Friday's you decide that?
I thought about two things. I thought about relationship, and I thought about, because we have big questions that we don't answer. I thought about the whatever returns. What do I get by going out 6 nights a week?
Diminishing marginal
returns? Returns between, you know, not sleeping, not waking up with her. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I can handle because I could still wake up with her, take her to camp, be a part there.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, Led Zeppelin went on tour for a year and a half, gone. And they come back, and now they played family for a year and a half. It's pretty tough to play family after you've been gone for a year and a half.
Yeah. So, it's like going to war. It's like they say when people come back from war, they have to do a week in Germany it's called neutralization. It's just you're all of a sudden. Jarring.
That's why I hate when people go, well, I'm going to Boston from Saturday to Sunday. Wait a second. When do you go back to work? Monday. Come back Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my mother's, I don't give a fuck what your mother's cooking. Come back Saturday because you're going to need a vacation from the vacation.
Yeah.
What good is it getting off the plane at 8 and you got to be at work at 9?
Yeah.
I'm just saving you aggravation, time, and parts of your life. Forget the dinner.
Yeah.
Tell her to make it on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's the same dinner she's going to make Sunday with Uncle Louie. She can make Saturday. Saturday at 4, you're out. You get here at 11 o'clock. You drive up to 405. It's empty.
Yeah.
And now Sunday, you do your laundry.
Yeah.
You look at your mail.
I'm so slow in my shit. Like, I'm meditative at home. I like to light a candle. I like to brush my teeth. I don't like rushing at home.
Me neither.
And I don't like feeling rushed, and I don't like feeling pressure. So it's like, that's what I've been adjusting to being in a relationship. And also, I don't like being on or feeling like I have to deliver or perform or be interesting. So it's been a little bit of an adjustment at home, going from like dating and like putting on my best self and being like charming and funny and telling great stories, and then cohabitating and being like, oh no, I'm boring like most of the time. Like, I'm not super fun to live with, you know?
I wish people really knew. Like, you're like, I wish people really knew. They think I'm out shopping with fucking Tiffany Haddish and Beverly Hills, jumping up and down, yelling at waiters, squeezing waiters' asses, And that's not, you know, it surprises me when, like, I appreciate when people reach out to do things. Like, you know, it's like the other day, Too Short reached out. Fuck.
Crazy.
Too Short. Crazy. Went out to his party Thursday at 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I can't go. I wish I could go to downtown at 1 o'clock and smoke dope. I still got to drive back on the 101 at 4, and I got to be home for dinner. I got to be home for dinner. I believe. Let me tell you the pet peeves I had growing up. Pet peeves I had growing up were going to Whitney's house to call for her in the morning. Parents were very nice. Dad was very nice. Mom was nice. His siblings were nice. But while I was sitting there waiting for you, I would hear, Whitney, hurry up. Can you please give me the brush out of the bathroom?
No.
Jesus Christ, who took a shit this early? Isn't there a rule? And people running and people standing up eating a carrot and your mother eating a cereal because she's got to miss the train in 15 minutes. Mm-mm. When I saw that as a kid, I go, I do not want that.
No, hectic.
My house in the morning, this is very... What's that they say in French? Je ne sais quoi. Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
In my house, you wake up, you get a cup of coffee, you go outside.
I have my coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
I sit, no phone.
No nothing.
No talking, no news.
I don't even turn the news on because I want negative.
Nope.
I don't want
to hear toxic pollution in your
thrown in the dumpster.
Nope.
Don't
I'm
even
good.
Turn it on.
Lead in my water. I don't need to know. Don't tell me.
I go outside, I got a little vitamin D, I drink my coffee, mm-hmm. I have about 20, do two bong hits to get the fucking pH going in the pussy.
To get life tolerable.
And then you fucking open up social media and I go to work promoting, writing, I have the notebook, I write my whatever for the day, what I plan to do, how I'm feeling, what I thought about last night's set.
Do you sleep?
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah, 8 hours?
7.5.
Wow. Really.
7.5.
Can you nap?
CBD oil.
Do you ingest it?
Yes.
Huh.
It's really helped. The 2,500 milligrams I pop at night.
Oh, shit.
No THC.
Pills?
No.
The little gel caps?
Under my
tongue. Oh, okay.
An hour before I go to bed. So Sons of Anarchy comes on at 11. I walk in from the Comedy Store at 11. I pop it. I go in. I do some stuff. I look at my notebook for the next day. And by 11:45, I'm already feeling.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. I'm asleep right now. And I go, let me watch the end of Sons of Anarchy, and I'll watch that, and then I'll lay down, and I'm older, so I pee.
I do, too.
So you pee every hour on the hour.
Every hour at night?
Oh, my God.
In the middle of the night?
For a while there, it was terrible. There's nights that I just, and then I went on strike. I wouldn't drink water after 6.
I was going to say, yeah.
And people, like, you could die, my doctor told me, you could die of a heart attack. And I'm like, fuck.
Can you get, like, a little catheter?
No, So now tube. I just started doing the CBD and like cryotherapy.
Oh, yeah. You good in the thing?
Yeah.
The full thing?
Cryo makes you sleep also. Very good.
So does steam, doesn't it?
Steam and cryo.
Steam. And cryo, do you do it before you go to bed or just anytime during the day?
I'm going to do it today.
Because you burn like 2,000 calories when you do it. So you're right? Oh, because you're so, your body's working so hard to stay warm.
I'll do the cold one today. I usually do the light.
How many minutes does it go?
Three.
Someone died in one of those. In Vegas. I think some.
Yeah, because they're doing drugs the night before. And
someone was found dead in a cryo freeze in Vegas.
Yeah, there's a thing. There's a guy that I met when I first started going to cryo. And I just bumped into him about 2 months ago in the park. I'm like, hey, I don't see him. I'm like, I got a heart condition. They don't want me to go in. I think it's the best thing I do. I try to get in there 3 times a week.
Yeah, good for inflammation and shit.
It's not even for your breathing.
Oh.
And it focuses your flight to fight response.
Well, see, that I love. I love that it's just you
it
realize what
you.
Is mental, what is perception.
Yes. So you have to go in, close, I put music on, and I focus on the breathing.
Yeah.
I make sure that...
Keep your amygdala deactivated.
Don't go in there right from yoga class because your underwear is sweaty.
And then you're going to freeze.
I made the mistake. I said, let me go there one day. And my fucking two nuts became one. I could feel them. The one hug, the one nut was like, I'm cold. And the other guy's like, I'm cold too. Let's hug. And they just hugged together.
Don't they go in your body, like
oh my
up
God.
Inside your body?
It was like a little head. And I went into the bathroom. I looked in the freeze. It looked like Disney's head. It was just a little frozen fucking, if I would put a wig on it.
A little hemorrhoid.
Oh, yeah. It looked like your nut just becomes one. I got great nuts. I really do. But
What does great nuts mean? Big?
Big. A lot of meat to put in your mouth.
But,
you know what I'm saying?
It's but like, high up? like tight, high and tight?
I'm 56. I got problems. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Or like just symmetrical.
They're symmetrical. I mean, it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it like depends. Chicken gizzard. What's the
one man's chicken is another man's
like an elephant ear.
What the fucking show of the picture of my nuts?
It's hidden from YouTube.
Do we have pictures of Joey's nuts?
Oh, you
want to
see that one? Okay, yeah, never mind.
Do we have pictures of Joey's nuts?
Yeah, let me find it.
I didn't know
the
that.
The album cover of my CD.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Oh, something I called it. Where I get my balls?
That's
from.
Right.
And
what is this? An updated? Is this a?
This is the best story.
How recent is this photo?
This has to be about 7-8 years ago.
Okay, so we need a new one.
But it's probably the only difference is gray hairs and a couple of wrinkles. Like you ran the Russian app.
Like
if I put the Russian app on my nutsack right now, that's what it would get. Like a couple of wrinkles and some fucking gray hair. The best was for me. I'm sitting there one day and I'm like, I really want to call this album something. What kind of picture can I get the forces? I was working Madonna. What would Madonna do?
Can I tell you, people don't think about that. One of the hardest things I think about doing stand-up is naming your specials.
Yes. What would Madonna do?
Hmm.
What would Madonna do? So I took a picture.
Hold on.
I went to Felicia's house.
Madonna would take a picture of her balls?
I went to Felicia's and I go, Felicia, I got a high first. And I got into a big favor. And she's like, what is it, Joey? Tommy, that's not beautiful right there. Look at that.
That actually is a fucking unbelievable set of balls.
Look at that.
It looks like Dolly Parton's tits. Looks like a beautiful butt.
I'm going to leave them to you. I want you to take them out of the sack and put a string in between them and play that game. Remember in the 70s, they had the cracker ball?
It's right with the little ping pong thing. Oh, yeah. It looks like Kim Kardashian's butt.
How somebody has not asked me to model my
bulbous. Can I tell you something?
Beyond me.
I actually thought you were joking, but I do think you do have beautiful balls. Beautiful. Bulbous.
And you're lucky you didn't see him from the left hand. I got a beauty mark on the left side.
I think I see it.
It's like Eva. There's
something.
What's her name? Eva Loren? She had that beauty mark on the side of her face. It's on the left side.
It looks like Mount Rushmore. Beautiful. It looks like two redwoods, like a redwood.
Look at the heart in those nuts. There's
unbelievable.
Heart in those right there.
Veins of steel. Can I tell you something? I'm not even joking. I'd be the first to clown on them. They are very, tremendous. Very well constructed.
And I clean them. I wipe them. They're
set
fucking,
of balls. Do you shave them?
I shave them. Yep. I keep them.
But you got to hold it when you shave. You got to hold them out, right?
I got to beg my wife and fucking close my eyes and pray.
She does them?
Yeah.
She shaves your balls?
Sometimes she shaves my balls for me because, you know, you can't put them in your mouth.
Is that the key to a happy marriage?
That's the key to a happy marriage. You got to have them shave your balls.
Do you shave everything?
Sometimes I shave everything,
just depending on the occasion?
Well, there's no shampoo. The hair gets long and it's like I get split ends.
You can use regular shampoo.
I don't want to use
shampoo. Use a different shampoo on your ball, your pubes, and your head?
I put conditioner on my head. I get soap, antifungal soap, and I wash my helmet.
Okay.
I pull the skin back because I'm uncircumcised. Yeah. Germs develop under that. And then
A lot of people, a lot of guys don't know that.
No.
A lot of guys don't do it and they don't know it, and it stinks.
It stinks terribly. Mm-hmm. You got to shampoo the pubic hair, mm-hmm. and then I put like Wella Balsam conditioner.
Oh.
But I still get the split ends.
Wella Balsam. I don't even think they still fucking made that. Where do you buy that?
I don't know. 99 cents.
Where are you getting this shit? Wella Balsam.
It's not like you're going to put Marie Antoinette fucking ball conditioner on there. It's not like fucking. You know, Holly Berry's fucking
well, a balsam.
Makes a fucking ball thing. So you fucking
That's good to know.
And then you use a razor or electric razor, or
I
regular
use a
razor
thing called Manscaped.
Oh,
that it comes with a detachment, so you can shave your nuts.
It's just for nuts.
For nuts,
huh?
And then you take it off and you shave around it.
Uh-huh.
So it's the summertime. You don't want to have that fucking oniony smell on top of a 56-year-old.
No, I don't want to smell the scallops.
Oh, man, dick. No. I like hairy everything.
People don't know
woman.
How stinky their asshole gets either.
Oh, my the asshole tank. Is fucking horrid. In between, I call that Stinkville.
No, the Stink Zone.
Stinkville. In between your asshole and your nutsack, there's that 1 inch.
It's just the bog of eternal stench.
And it
stays with you.
And sometimes you're watching TV at night and you're like, man, I got a little itch down there. And you scratch.
And then you...
Let me see what's going on down in Nutville. It's like under your nuts a little bit. And right, it's like a little piece of meat. If you go too south, you'll scratch like the top of your asshole like a little bit. And you take that with your fingers and you just get a little whiff. And this, it smells completely different.
Like war.
So I get the loofah.
Let me tell you how convenient I am.
I'm a fat dude. So I've never, I grew up on the East Coast and I hated humidity, so I learned how to bathe. So I take a loofah, I pick up my nuts, and I loofah underneath, I loofah the dead skin. And then what you do is I cut a little loofah.
Oh.
And I take that one and I learn how to wrap it around my finger and I put it like 2 inches in my asshole and clean the fucking, you know, because they get barnacles. You get barnacles and clouds.
I think those are herpes, but yeah.
Whatever the fuck it is. You clean around, like, I don't stick my finger in my ass, I knuckle it.
You know that and they, I go like this, like a get, yeah, it's like how you express anal glands
right,
in a dog.
Like you go like this, yeah. And then you take it out and I wash it.
But you know there's these, the Korean spas have these, like, gloves that are loofah gloves.
Okay.
That you can go in and do whatever you got to do in the crevices. You can get them for 20 cents.
Really?
On Amazon. You can buy 50 okay. once. It's a glove that's all loofah, and you can just get everything. You don't have to be doing arts and crafts with your loofah and
cutting
it.
How often do you change the finger one?
I cut it like every 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. No, no, that's.
I don't want to have a dirty, stinky recycle.
I know, but I think, yeah, I think maybe. Is that a.
Well, we have the bidet.
I don't know.
I have the bidet.
Yeah,
the
bidet's nice. Understand how bidets work.
Oh, they're great.
I don't understand.
How you bought this fucking house in 2019
and
without a bidet is beyond me.
But I don't understand what. It's washing your shit or your balls.
Everything. Just tomorrow, call the plumber.
I don't even understand where you're supposed to sit on it.
Yeah.
But doesn't it? I've tried it before and it went everywhere.
Right, because you have to learn how.
I felt like a squirter for the first time.
You turn on the hot first, then you turn.
But do you have to have a towel?
Yeah.
Why don't you just get in the shower? Because
maybe you're on a move. Maybe you ever come home with a guy, and you're swapping spit, things are kind of getting hot.
Oh, we baby wipes.
But baby wipes, but baby wipes, I taste baby wipes.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And I can tell you baby wipes.
I knew a girl in college who used to put cherry chapstick on her pussy.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Let's make, give me a number.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I want to be her Facebook friend.
Pretty good.
You know, it's like.
It's pretty good.
But, so what you do is you. You go in the bathroom, you turn it on, you sit, you take the sweat off your ass, then you get a towel, then you can put like a Summer's Eve vaginal scrub, and you just get it in there and clean your nuts.
Wait, on mine or yours?
I wash my balls with Summer's Eve vaginal scrub. Summer's Eve vaginal scrub will shine your nuts like, and I wish I was trying to be funny. I used to date a girl and she had it.
But Summer's Eve is just soap. The best thing is just antibacterial soap.
Why not use Summer's Eve? It cleans everything.
Is this one of your advertisers?
No, not at all. This feels fishy. No.
Do they sponsor?
I haven't bought Summer's Eve as a man since I got married because I didn't want my wife to know.
It does feel, if I saw Summer's Eve at a guy's house,
I think they were cheating. Summer's Eve vaginal scrub.
Vaginal scrub?
Is the best thing.
Does it have little
papaya
scrubby?
Seeds? And you put it, the old one. I don't know. This is 95. There was a girl I used to date.
I'm not planting seeds in my uterus.
There was a girl I used to date. And on Sunday night, she had a boyfriend. She was happily in love.
Mm-hmm.
But on Sunday morning, she would break up with him every weekend.
Okay.
And her and I would go on a date, and we'd play who could roofie who first. And we would go out, and I'd try to roofie her, and she'd try to roofie me. This was tremendous. Tremendous. She would
giggle. Sounds like a real sport.
I loved her.
She sounds like
I
a very
her.
Good sense
she
of humor.
She was a real... woman. She just was down.
What happened to her?
She got married. What do you think happened?
Are you able to stay
bitches?
In touch with exes?
Yes.
Oh,
I stay
cool.
in touch with her. She's just getting separated because she caught him having an affair with the waitress at their restaurant.
Oh, no.
But she was with him. I loved her. She was like one of my best friends.
Oh, cool.
One night we went out. We did a couple lines of coke. I noticed her body was banging. I ate her pussy and then we stayed friends. And then I never said nothing to nobody. Like, I didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
And then one night we went out. We went to her parents' house. I was friends. Her father grew weed in that town that's really busy. So he invited me to the house. She was there with a boyfriend. And the boyfriend was acting like an asshole. She's like, get home. And she's like, what are you going to do? And I go, I don't know. I'm going to go home and maybe get a gram of coke. She's like, you mind if I come with you? And then she goes, can we take a ride up to the bus stop? The bus stop was a strip club.
Oh, shit. Face him in.
No, leave him alone.
Wait, there's a
strip club.
There's a strip club called the bus stop.
The bus stop.
That is hands down the saddest name I've ever heard.
How crazy is it that it was run by like gangsters, but when the guy died, he left it to the church. So the church really owns the bus stop. At least they did in 95.
Fucking but anyway, amazing.
There was a little factory behind the back. There was this guy like with a missing eye. He got you roofies direct.
I don't know what a roofie
in
is.
In the fucking wrapper.
Is it?
Rohypnol.
Uh-huh.
And it's a pill. And people supposedly break them in half. And
crush put them in drinks.
And put them in your drinks.
Right.
Her and I were soldiers. We'd get a grandma blow. And then she'd take hers and I'd take mine. And we go to...
But why would you want to do blow and... Isn't that an upper and a downer?
You do the blow and it gets you all fucking psyched up, but then you get dead dick from doing the blow.
Oh, so you take
a... the roofie to calm it down a little bit, get you
Was
horny.
Viagra back in the day a thing yet?
95, maybe, but I've never taken Viagra.
Really?
I would not.
You don't need it. You're Joey fucking
Diaz.
I'm
scared of my heart.
Not with those balls.
No, I'm scared of what it would do to my... Because it takes the blood away from everything.
No one needs to fuck for 4 hours. Maybe you do. I don't know.
No.
Four hours? Why?
It's a long time.
Fuck out of here. Who has time for that? Yeast infection waiting to happen?
No, I would do... I would never take... I heard that there was gay men in Hollywood that would take Viagra and ecstasy, and you put it into a liquid form, and you
smoothie?
Take a turkey baster, and you put it up your ass. Ask Rogan on Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
After I bring up the piranha thing.
This is 95, 97, 98. There was a gay guy.
Ecstasy,
that was,
Viagra, up your ass. Well, anything you put up your asshole is going to go into your bloodstream.
Because, yes, faster.
Faster.
Like a lot of people I know used to do coke in their ass.
Yeah.
They used to take
with
a
finger?
And put a coke
with a loofah
your ass and you get fucked up on coke.
Jesus.
What's the difference between the feeling of going up your nose and going up your ass?
I don't know. I never put it up my ass.
Oh, really? Had,
you never did it once?
No, I would have if anything, I would have somebody blow it in me with a straw, like a Chinese chick. They're good with straws. You know what I'm saying? Too bad. I don't give a fuck about the dolphins.
Turtles.
Get that straw and blow it up my ass like
a
savage.
Be an eco-friendly paper straw.
You can't clean that. Oh, no. They would melt. It would dissolve. No,
but what if you have shit in your butt? Sorry.
No, you take a little bit. You put the finger in there, and then you put the straw in Chinese style. You shoot that coke rock up their fucking ass, and it's all low but the shot. Who do you think you're dealing with? Joey Bananas? You're always slinging.
So cocaine... Plus, and you do the cocaine to get amped up, and then you do the roofie to get your dick functioning.
Yes.
Huh.
And
I would not have thought that.
To make it kinkier.
Huh.
To make
but
it kinkier.
Wouldn't you forget all the stuff you did?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Don't roofies make you sleepy, though?
Yeah, that made you not remember.
Yeah.
Not with the coke.
That rigor mortis dick.
Not with the coke.
That sleepy dick.
Not with the coke. So with the coke, it would get, it's like doing a Quaalude.
I've never done a Quaalude.
Pass you out.
Our Quaalude's amazing.
Tremendous.
Tremendous.
I just gave the last one I had to Jordan Belfort. The Wolf of Wall Street came on the show last week.
It's a pill, right?
It's a pill.
And how have Quaaludes gone like out of style? Is OxyContin the new version?
Listen, you know, all you hear about is the opioid problem. The opioid problem. The opioid problem. We've had a problem with pills since I grew up. Whether it was Tumenols, mm-hmm. or Quaaludes, or Valium, or Xanax. It's
Percocet.
What's happened that I had a conversation with one of my dear friends, because my dear friend has this child that struggles with an opioid addiction. Oh. And he's like, I don't know what to do with him. And I always say, you know what? You're being a fucking hypocrite, for starters. And he's like, no cokes. You don't understand. We were doing coke. Big fucking difference. Like coke, heroin, pills. But it's true. You know, these pills are leading these kids to heroin.
Because it's cheaper.
And it's cheaper. That's
and it's
exactly
cheaper.
Right.
And it's laced with fentanyl. Cocaine's
that fentanyl
laced with
shit
fentanyl.
Is unbelievable.
You know what, man? I take a leaves, I drink two espressos, and I smoke a joint. I'm good.
What would you say if you were like, okay, you're going to die in 20 minutes. What's the drug you do?
I eat a piece of cheesecake, I get a New York egg cream, and I smoke a cigarette. Like a fucking animal. I would smoke a cigarette. Like if I got that old, like I would get more enjoyment.
Off one cigarette. What, Marlboro?
I've been a real pothead all my life.
Really? I didn't
like,
know that.
I like
I mean, I knew that, but I didn't know.
I like marijuana.
Yeah.
I knew at the age of 12 that marijuana did something to me. Somebody sat across here and said she had ADD and a bunch of stuff. And since she started smoking pot, she's gotten it together. I think I decided the same thing. I always had like low self-esteem. Like I always had all these things from my father dying.
Yeah.
Once I found pot, I found the home. It calms me down.
It takes away the background noise for me. I do at night before I go to bed. I had to take it easy because I was not the vapes. I can never quite tell how much I'm doing. And I tried a couple different brands. And now I just do like 3 or 4 hits before I go to bed. I was doing more during Roseanne because I was stressed out for obvious fucking reasons. And I was starting to forget shit. And I didn't feel like I was quick. So for me, like 4 hits before I go to bed is like the perfect amount where I can still be like quick and optimal.
Did you ever do drugs growing up?
You know, I didn't really. I did, like, I tried everything except heroin. I never did Quaaludes, but I was never I was always addicted to dramatic situations and bad relationships and not drugs. I was addicted to drug addicts, not drugs.
Alcohol?
Alcohol never did. Grew up in an alcoholic home, and I was always the one pouring the alcohol. So I became the people pleaser. I never got a taste for it.
Do you ever have a drink anymore?
I do sometimes. I can't. Wine gives me fucking migraines.
Me too.
Wine, I can't. So
white, red.
My thing is just not worth it, you know, because I'm like, this is fucking fun. But then tomorrow night, I'm always doing stand-up at night. So I'm always just like, haven't. But tequila is what I can do and not get a headache the next day.
I did time, guys. I did a lot of bad things. But it's so weird how my mind works. When I was 17 years old, I saw a car accident.
17?
I saw a car accident. I drove up on it, me and a friend of mine, and I hit an acid. And I saw a horrible experience, and I heard the yells, and I heard the screams, and they had to get the jaws of life and cut, you know, all that shit. And I'll never forget either. The guy said something, the guy took out a bottle, and he goes, they were drinking, and that stayed with me. Uh-huh. Like, I have a statement, I hope it doesn't offend anybody. It's 2019. If you get a DUI, just fucking kill yourself. Because you're that fucking stupid.
Yeah, and selfish.
I am just like a kid in New York. You hear about this thing in New York yesterday, 2 days ago? Guy went on an 8-hour shift and forgot his 2 1-year-old twins were in the car. Now, how do you forget for 8 hours that, you know, me and my wife, and I'm like, we're to a point now where we know not to leave anything in the fucking car.
No.
Just don't leave anything in the car. Your dog, your cat. Not even for a minute. Nothing bothers me more than when I go, Lee, do you want to ride? Or Whitney will go, Joe, do you want to ride?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you go, click, click, with your fucking car.
Yeah.
I open your car, and you want to put a suitcase in the back of the trunk. Do me a favor. Start this fucking car. Start it. And then do whatever the fuck you want. Get the air in here. For that minute, I'm sitting here like those twins.
It drives me fucking nuts.
Like those twins, I'm sitting there waiting to fucking die because you want to put that. And then your mother calls.
The twins die.
Hold on. We're here. Start the fucking car.
Start the goddamn AC.
And then you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can walk, talk. As long as I got the AC on. I've been with people who have said, I'm going to go inside for a minute. And they've turned off the car. I'm like, what are you doing?
The reason I have the car I have is because I can turn my AC on while I'm walking to the car. It's on before I get in there.
Yeah.
It drives me fucking nuts.
Nothing drives me crazy.
I've worked too hard.
Than people putting me in their car and then going, hold on, I got to take something out of the
trunk. Think ahead.
Start the fuck. So we all know that, like, all that type of shit. Like, if you got a DUI.
Give him a blood test and he had been drinking? The guy that left the
car? He was doing an 8-hour shift. So what you're telling me, I don't know. So what you're telling me is in that 8 hours, you didn't talk to your ex-wife or your wife. Your wife didn't call you and say how the babies are doing. Because I know when I'm on the road, I talk to my wife every 2 hours. How's Mercy doing? What's going on? How did she like Universal? Did the kid pick on her? Did she smack him back? I'm checking. So for 8 hours, something had to be
sober
done.
Person.
When they walked out, he either was doing drugs for 8 hours. Something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about DUIs. I'm sorry if you're an alkie or you're recovering. I'm not here to hurt nobody's feelings. But in today's day and age, again, I'm like, I'm a dad.
One of the most powerful things I heard when I was going to AA meetings, when I was in Al-Anon, but I was going to open AA meetings, you know, helps you understand the disease. And this woman was sharing and she was like, everyone out driving tonight is safer because I'm in here. Hundreds of people are safer because I'm here. It's like, it just blew my mind just thinking about it. She's like, I just didn't want to kill anybody.
And I could do coke and drive. I'm Mario Andretti. You got to see me. I used to do coke and I would do 90 down Fountain on a Thursday night. Fuck. I could smoke a joint and I won't smoke in the car.
Yeah.
Very seldom do I smoke when I'm driving.
Yeah.
I'll smoke when we get to our destination. Uh-huh. I'll smoke before I leave the house. I think they give us a great deal here by letting you smoke and letting you buy weed.
Yeah, don't fuck it up.
You gotta smoke it in the fucking car too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Now you're getting greedy.
Yeah, now we're getting greedy. Yeah. So leave the pot at home. Mm-hmm. You smoke, you go for a car ride. But the DUI, like the, I cannot even sip. I was like, man, I should get gin and tonic with an extra lime in this bitch. Mm-hmm. My fear, because I fall apart. If a cop pulls me over and I have alcohol on my breath, I will fall apart. I can murder somebody. You come question me.
Yeah.
And I'm Joe Cool. I haven't
said
it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to alcohol, I start stuttering.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Is that because your tolerance is low?
I just know. The fear I get from getting pulled over with alcohol because I don't have a ground to stand on. I've told people for years, I didn't have a license for 10 years. I got pulled over every Friday coming home from Irvine in Ontario. Because I'd be doing 90. No license. No California license.
What did you do?
Tell them the truth. I go, I lost it on the plane. I haven't got a chance to get my California license. They didn't smell out. They have a rule in L.A. on Fridays and Saturdays. If you're speeding, but you're a gentleman.
Really?
If you don't have alcohol in your breath, 90% of times they'll let you go. Especially after 10 o'clock.
Is that LAPD or is that...
All of it.
All of it.
They don't have time to be fucking around with
That's
you.
So true.
What, they do a background check?
Yeah.
They do the background check. Then we get pulled over together, me, you, and
Oxnard,
Eric.
Yeah.
How cool were they?
Yeah.
I don't ever have a problem with them. Never, ever, ever. Because without alcohol in your breath on a Friday and Saturday, you don't have a leg to stand on. Because even if we go to the Comedy Store and Whitney says at 8:30, hey, Joey, have a tequila with me. My show got picked up. Boom. And I do the 8:30 show, and I do Joe's 10 o'clock show, and I get in the car at 12. If I get pulled over, he's going to ask me a question.
Yeah,
I've been
drinking.
And then what if I tell him no because it was 4 hours ago, and then I get out and I trip wrong? So as soon as you tell the cop yes, he's going to take you out of the car.
Yeah.
So just don't drink, and he won't take you out of the fucking car.
That's right.
You know,
I don't know how people drink and do stand-up. It blows my mind that so many comics do it.
I could smoke pot, not right away, and do stand-up. The coke I learned my first year, it's not going to work.
Really? Why not?
Cocaine the night before.
So many comics did so much. I mean, we're like the first generation of comics that aren't doing cocaine, right?
We're the first generation of comics that really aren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you have a problem today in the comedy world, like alcohol... a drug problem, your career is not going to last.
No.
Because there's so many good comics.
That's right.
That aren't causing
That are drinking
problems.
Jamba Juice and doing Remember, yoga.
For 20 years ago, Mitch was on the road causing problems. George Lopez is on the road causing problems.
What was Mitch like?
Mitch was a sweetheart. Mitch was just...
Was his comedy at the time alternative comedy? Like, did he feel... Like, could he go on stage after anybody? Do you know what I mean? Like today, that would be considered like alternative comedy, don't you think?
He was alternative, but he was on a different level. His writing,
mm-hmm. charisma.
The shit he was starting to do, turn around and not do comedy in front of him. He was just doing.
Was he
wild
as a person?
Stuff.
Was he.
Fun.
Really?
Wow. We used to play tennis every day.
What?
At 98. Me, him, Stanhope would go to Gorky Park on Vista and Fountain. There's a park there.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a Russian park, and they used to sell drugs there. But me, Stanhope, Nick DiPaolo.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nick DiPaolo and Mitch Hedberg lived in the same building on Sierra Bonita and Sunset.
Oh, yeah. That's a famous building.
So you had Wolf was on Vista.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have El Compadre. Then Ralphie May was on Schrader. And then you had Sierra Bonita.
Mm-hmm.
You had Mitch and Nick. And then I'm cursed.
The two couldn't be two more dissimilar comics.
And they were neighbors. So whenever Mitch Hedberg would play the guitar, Nick would throw bounce on the wall. He fucking hated Mitch. Like he would torture Mitch.
Could not be more different.
And then Curson had Doug Stanhope, which he still has that apartment there. He kept that apartment after all these years because it's rent controlled.
That's wild.
He will not leave that place. I went over there the other day. It's still
so
there.
Funny.
So all those guys used to get together. We'd drink iced tea. And at 3:30, we'd go to Gorky Park. And I still remember, like, he was killing. Mitch Hedberg was already killing at the improv. He was a big improv guy. Laugh Factory, I kind of remember. Huh. I don't remember him at the store, but I still remember him and I having a conversation about him going to New York. And me telling him that I think it was a good idea because there's nobody else like him there.
Huh.
Everybody in New York talks to the audience and, you know, how you doing
today. And was Stephen Wright still performing? Like, wasn't the closest thing he was stylistically
right,
was
to Stephen Wright. Stephen Wright was performing, but Mitch was just climbing.
He had like
Mitch
a swagger about him.
You know, all that shit, you know. You ever been walking down the street and a guy gives you a sign and he's really saying, hey, you throw this away from me, you know.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, the thing about going to the restaurant, yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, clever just, as shit.
He was on like a year or two roll. Then he got the big deal.
Yeah.
And this is something, this is how big the deal was. Like when they signed Mitch in Montreal, on paper, it's supposed to be the biggest deal ever given. By now, they probably broke
it. Yeah, yeah.
The interest was so high on Mitch that they closed the Improv on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday just to showcase Mitch.
To people or to no industry people?
To industry.
Wow.
So everybody came back to tell their perspectives that the Mitch Hedberg train was open. It was time to write their checks.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday was showrunner, Tuesday was writers, and Wednesday was the networks. You think I'm fucking kidding? I swear to God. That's how powerful he was.
They do not do shit like that anymore.
Fox gave him the deal. They started working him into the 70s show.
Like oh, right. That must have been Chris Albrecht.
They were doing it right. They were doing this one. They were doing right. They were working him into...
To do like a sitcom?
Yes, for Fox. They were doing it right. Because they take Whitney. Whitney's never done a school play.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes to read the pilot and they're mm-hmm. like, ooh.
Yeah.
Then you have a sister. The next thing you know, you're playing your sister and you're playing something else.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You know,
so and then you get recast right, by Fran Drescher. Yeah.
So, you know, there's just so many things that.
Wow.
But then he moved to New York and that's where he was really. That's where you really think of doing all those spots in
yeah,
New
yeah,
York.
Yeah.
And he had Caroline's and all those places. It was starting to get a little foolish. It was 98. 97.
And that's when Comedy Central was doing like.
Yes.
They were the specials.
They were
and
tremendous.
The premium blends.
Yes. Yes. Comedy Central really had it.
Comedy Central Presents were. It was almost like the Tonight Show. If you did one, you were just huge.
And then I guess the drugs got a hold of him. And you. For a couple of years, you just heard stories, you know. But I was in my own drug war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pablo Francisco, who I dearly love, he was causing havoc.
But when you're on the road, no one
no supervision.
Can say anything.
I still remember fucking George Lopez falling off a stool in Miami and they couldn't do radio on Thursday and Friday. You know, everybody was pretty much, I still remember Attell in 99 in Miami at the Improv opening up for him
but
for
the
weekend.
But also audience, they bring you drugs. Like, I mean, that's, I remember talking to some comics struggling. They're like, I just got sober, but people send me shots and the club owners give you drugs. You know, I mean, it just seems like it was probably even harder back then.
It was probably hard for a lot of people. You know, let's be honest. I went on the road to do drugs. I didn't go on the road to do comedy. Comedy was just how I was going to make money.
Because it just
drugs.
Felt like you didn't have any accountability. If you were on the road, you could do whatever
you wanted.
I
was a feature.
Yeah.
No radio. No nothing. After I do that 20 minutes, I sit by the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I just wait for the pigeons to come out one by one. We loved you. Are you dead? Well, what's the story? What are we going to do? Let's do a bump. I came with my boyfriend, so we'll get to Jackie. Let's get the fuck out of here. And next thing you know, I'm gone.
Yeah.
There's no responsibility. That was what I was into. I was into snorting and getting high. And comedy was 30% of that journey at that time.
It's so weird. I don't think I know anyone that does cocaine. Isn't that weird?
No.
Like, I don't know any of them. Like, not that I would call them out right now on your show, but I don't know anyone who's a stand-up that really does cocaine.
And it's out there.
I'm sure they're out there, but I don't see it, you know?
I don't see it either.
I don't see it.
I don't see it.
Everyone's juicing and everyone's fucking keto paleo and, like, everyone's working out with Rogan.
You know, you and I both know that be a successful stand-up and to do what you want to do on the road and those shows and those theaters and the traveling and... You know, if you land in Dallas Airport and you're not in shape, You're going to die.
Well, also, we're in this new thing now where people see you and they take pictures of you all the time. And there's no, I get to behave a different way after the show or in the airport. No, it's no, everything's
public. It's got to be very careful.
You know who gave me amazing advice, actually, when I first started stand-up? Andrew Dice Clay was at the Comedy Store, and I was such a young idiot. I was like 25, and I was like, had done maybe like a couple months of stand-up. And I was like, excuse me, what's it? Do you have like some advice for me? And he was like, sleep 8 hours a night. That's all I said.
It's the truth.
Just sleep.
It's the truth. You have to take so much care of yourself so you can take care of the people that pay to come and see you.
That's right. You know, they're saving money all year.
I got home, my son always like, look at you with a nice white shirt. I'm like, hey, you can't sell a $10,000 truck with a $10 presentation.
Do you think I dress too sloppy?
On stage?
You're making me think I should dress up more.
No, I think you dress very womanly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't want to see your tits when I'm up there. Okay, I want you to cover them because why have the distraction?
Yeah. Yeah, just I wear like nice hoodies, but yeah. I sometimes feel like, am I a little sloppy?
You told me something once, and it stayed with me a long time, and you got a lot of respect from me. You said that when you came to this town, you had two choices. You could either suck dick or want to be one of the guys, and you put your head up in a ponytail, and you looked as unassuming as you could, and that goes a long way, you know? I've seen girls that, there was a girl at the Comedy Store that had a tape, you know, she was into old guys, like... She was like, no name. She was like 28, hot. But her boyfriends were like 60.
Yeah.
Because they fucked her once a week and they got, and one guy gave her a set of tits. They were fucking beautiful.
The only she's one, a comic or waitress?
She's done it. This is 20 years.
No. She's a Betty Ford.
She would only show up once a week and there was a beautiful fucking Porsche fucking convertible.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. She was 24, hot to trot. Sukalamin.
Good for her.
But whoever did that, they did the tit transfer in Mexico.
Transfer?
Whatever the fuck they did.
Implants.
The implant they did in Mexico.
Like, what's that? Because
they didn't know what to do with this vein.
Wait, what? Is this true?
This is a true story.
What vein?
I don't know. Women have a vein that goes from
I have fake tits. There was no vein problem.
But she had a vein that, for some reason, the silicone pushed it out. So the vein... came right through. It was like you were doing comedy with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
She sucked too many dicks. That vein was...
So this was here, the cleavage, and this vein came from here all the way down like a fucking, like a bodybuilder's arm. When you look at a bodybuilder, how their vein looked.
Yeah, yeah.
So she went on stage with cleavage and everybody would come out and go, Jesus Christ, that vein on the tit. You know, sure, because that's all they see is the vein on the tit. Cover that fucking vein.
I don't understand.
No, I'm sorry. Maybe she didn't have a transfer. Maybe she got a cheap sugar daddy and he sent her to Mexico. You know how they are in Mexico.
Fuck.
They
just that you can't get your tits done at mini malls. No. You gotta go to the real.
I knew a chick that got a tits done and I swear to God. One was up here and it was 6 months.
You gotta be careful.
The guy didn't use the thing with the little chemical thing in there. You know how you use the...
You know what the key to good fake tits is?
What?
Is that they, when you go out on anesthesia, they hang you basically on a crucifix and do it while you're standing up.
Really?
Yeah, so that they fall right. So most of the time they have you on a bed and they do it and then you're little fucking two alligator eyes, you know? But the good surgeons put you up on the wall and do it while you're standing up. That's the most horrified I've ever seen Joey Diaz.
Oh my God.
But that's the ones that fall well, because most people have them, but the good ones don't seem fake, you know. And also under the muscle is the key.
Well, now that we've come
over the muscle tits, just looks like
Joey's nutsacks. How was it preparing for this next special you have coming on Netflix?
You saw me a lot, I feel like, preparing for this special.
Yeah, I saw you a few times at Sycamore, at Flappers a bunch.
Sycamore, I like that place. Yeah. It's weird. I feel like, and tell me if I'm crazy or if this is normal, like I feel like the more people know me as a stand-up, the scarier I am in a way to disappoint. So I feel like I can't do a shit at, you know, I have to do a shit at the Comedy Store, improv, places like that. So this round, I really started going to like little shitholes. I went to Flappers. I went to bars. Like, yeah. I kind of was like, you know, the more success I get as a stand-up, the shittier venues I'm going to, because I want to be able to just try out new shit and fuck around and not like, if I'm following you or Rogan, I don't feel like I can try out new shit. you know, like I want to deliver, because I mean, you know, following this guy is a fucking nightmare. It's like riding an earthquake. So it was fun, but also a lot of work. And the stuff that I was talking about, like, I was scared. This is the first time I've ever put a special out, and I was like scared. Like, what if the PC police get me? What if I get canceled? Am I allowed? And that's why I called the special "Can I Touch It?" For a lot of reasons. But I was a little worried I wasn't going to say the right term or get backlash in the comments. And I was like, I gotta fucking shake that shit off. This is, I think, just because of what's going on. And all this, I'm going to pull up a tweet that you sent 8 years ago, and now you're homophobic. I was scared, which was...
They pull up my tweets.
You're fucking...
You know, I mean, we have to...
I don't think people even bother with you.
We really have to stop living.
Yeah.
You're a very decent girl, you know? It's not like you took your dick out and showed it to somebody. It's not like you know, you're Sargento who... You're marching, but in the meantime, you're raping a 17-year-old.
Hypocrite, yeah.
You know what? If you said something 20 years ago, I said it.
Yeah.
God knows what my state of mind was. Mm-hmm. So if you take it seriously and you want to judge me by that.
I used to do the roast.
Shame on you.
We used to do the most sexist, racist, offensive shit ever, you know? But I think I think the biggest part of this special is I wanted to make sure that it didn't just work in New York and L.A., because we get a little myopic now. So I did 43 cities everywhere in between New York and LA. A lot of us go San Francisco, New York, LA. Got it. Let me tape it. It's like, that doesn't represent everybody.
No, that's good.
So I definitely, especially talking about the stuff that's in the news, like I talk a lot about the sexual harassment stuff. And I'm so glad, you know, that I did as big of a tour as I did. I was sick and it was hard. But, you know, I was talking about the Me Too stuff and sexual harassment. And I was like, so does Me Too made it to Houston? I'm pretty sure it was Houston. And this, and I was talking about, like, when your ass gets grabbed at work, you know, and this woman just yelled out, take the compliment and move on.
It's true.
I was like, thank you.
It's true.
There's different points of view about this. Not right, not wrong. I can't judge, but I want to make sure that the special doesn't feel like a, you know, I don't know. I want to appeal to everybody. And
how long did you prepare for it, honestly?
A year and a half.
Okay, so 18 months.
About. Yeah. But I did, I was doing two shows a night at Flappers. Then I go to the Comedy Store. And then I was doing 6 shows a weekend.
See, I've changed my whole outlook. I'm just doing the store from now on.
Really?
Yeah.
In L.A.? Where were you doing? You would do Ha Ha Cafe.
I do everything. And I just, after the Netflix special, I saw so many holes in my game, and I was like, that's it.
Interesting.
That's it. If they don't like the A material, they'll get something.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been doing this for 20 years. I'll come up with 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Enough with going down there and worrying about who you're following.
But it used to be a Comedy Store. You could go on and fuck around. There was 10 people, 10 Germans in the audience got a Groupon.
That's not
now
me.
It's every, I come off stage, it's every person that runs a fucking network.
That's the way it
is. Everyone's filming. It's like,
but they just want you to be yourself. You always could use 8 minutes of material.
Yeah.
And substitute some material in there so you don't look. I had to stop going to the other places.
Yeah.
Because even if I killed at Flappers on the drive home, I'm like,
That count?
I'm a bully.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm over there with a bunch of, now there's a poor girl over there that's been doing comedy for 2 years.
Yeah.
She invited all her girlfriends at work.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And bullied her. So now she has to follow me. Like, you know.
Well, and everyone who's listening is a fan of yours, and you know. You are, I would say, one of the hardest comics to follow right now.
Yes.
Yeah, so I told you about the time that I had to follow you and I started stretching in the hallway.
For Netflix. Yeah.
No, I started doing, like, oh, and it's the first time I ever was like, hey, do you want to go next? I was trying to get someone else to go just to fucking get the energy back to earth.
I always, after the Netflix special, I always want to act. I always want to feel the way I feel before I go up at the store.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to feel that panic.
Mm-hmm. That, oh, wow. You know, do you feel panic before you go on at the store?
Oh, my God.
Do you get that from him?
He's told me about it. I wouldn't have guessed it, but yeah, he's told me for years.
I wouldn't think you were capable of that emotion.
Because I was there. Think about being there when Mitzi was there.
I had to showcase for Mitzi twice when she was the only person in the room.
When she would walk back and forth.
No, didn't see that.
She would do a spot, and you got in your car, and you're like, this might be my last night at the store. Like, I lived through that.
Wait, like showcasing for her? Just no, her being
no,
there?
No, like her being there on a Saturday, and you got an 11 o'clock spot. When you walk in, she's in the booth sitting with Eleanor and Andrew and Paul Rodriguez. And she's like, hi, honey. We're here to watch you. And you're like, okay. And you have to go in the main room, and Don Marrera's in front of you.
Oh, fuck.
And you're like,
no.
So if you thought you stretched that night, think of my job. Now you go up there. So I would always be honest with her. If I saw her Monday, I would always tell her, I did great in the original room, but I ate a bag of dicks in the main room.
I always eat dicks in the main room.
And she would go, that's fine.
What is that? The main room, I prefer the original room to the main room. Is that true? Okay.
We all do.
And then
in time, the more you do these stupid Sam Tripoli shows, Rogan shows, and not that they're stupid.
No, I mean, but it's getting your people.
Mellow comic. Mm-hmm. Every time they do a show and they call you, do it. Because you're going to go on down anyway to do the original. Yeah. You might as well jump on their show.
Yeah.
And you'll see. You'll do this. It's either or.
Yeah.
I either destroy the original room.
Yeah.
And eat a bag of dicks in the main room.
You can't have both.
Or destroy in the main room.
God doesn't give a fuck.
And in the original room, they're like, what?
It's
the
worst. You come off such a high in the OR, and then you have 9 dicks down your throat in 2 minutes in the fucking main room.
You're like,
damn it.
That new joke worked in the main room.
20 seconds ago.
Just 20 fucking seconds ago.
Who fucked this up?
And now they just stared me down like I robbed them.
I know.
It's crazy hearing you guys.
Where did you tape this at?
DC, Sidney Harmon Hall.
How many shows did you tape?
I did 2 shows, but I learned this the hard way because the first show is always a camera rehearsal. So I did a practice show on Friday that was just for cameras to see what I was doing. Because I'd move around a lot and the camera people got to know how to follow me. And then I did 2 taped shows on Saturday. And I used mostly from the second show Saturday.
And it comes out Tuesday. It
comes out Tuesday.
July 30th.
Yeah, July 30th.
Midnight.
Yep.
I'm fucking so happy for
you. It's nuts. Like, for me, like, I have some craziest shit happen at the end of the show. Because I have a robot in it.
I don't know if I've seen that part of it.
There's a robot in the show, which is insane. Because I kind of just was like, okay, it's my 4th special. I want it to be super memorable. There's so many great specials now, so many great comics. Like, I just want to do something really memorable. So it's kind of a crazy experiment at the end that'll make you feel weird.
Now, you've done comedy specials for who?
2 for Comedy Central, 1 for HBO. This one's for Netflix.
How was the HBO? I love the HBO.
Thank
special.
You. You said something to me where you said that you appreciated. I fucked around with the crowd.
Right.
Just because
I really like that.
I just feel like it. I think what is tricky about specials is you do every single night, you get to do something different, and then you're like, oh, I gotta pick a tape. Like, if it feels right, I just do it in a taping, even though it fucks up the continuity. It feels weird to not trust your gut while performing. I don't want it to ever feel rehearsed. So I had fucked around with someone in the audience, and I was just like, fuck it, leave it in.
I loved it.
That's what happened.
Oh, she's got balls.
That's what happened. What am I not gonna? It's just another show. I try to treat it like just another show. What am I saying? It was good. I'm proud of it. It's going to get me in some trouble.
Good. That's
you know, I say that some feminists are assholes.
Perfect.
People are going to be mad at me, but that's what comedy is. Like, I can't, we're not here to take care of your feelings. We're here to make you laugh and make you think. And the self-righteous indignation shit's gotten a little much.
Fucking crazy.
It's gotten crazy. I'm going to piss some people off, and maybe that's okay.
I just read, they're changing fucking Halloween.
What?
To Saturday, because too many people complaining that they don't want Halloween to fall on a Wednesday, so they want to change it to Saturday.
Who's
so
they? Who are these people?
The same cocksuckers that changed Columbus Day. Leave Columbus fucking alone. But they had to make Ambiguous Day.
Did they cancel Columbus
Day? Yeah, they canceled them out.
And what do you call it? You don't, it's gone?
Indigenous Apocalypto, People Day.
Indigenous People Day.
That's right.
Because Columbus killed a bunch of fucking people. Who gives a fuck? It was 2,000 years ago. Were you there? No, mind your business. But I knew once they changed Columbus Day, then they'd want to go for something.
They're coming for you. Yep.
Wait, you're going to see Martin Luther King's neck and he's black.
Yep, yep.
Fucking Nazi Day. They're going to do everything.
Yep, yep.
These motherfuckers.
We can't celebrate Nazi Day anymore?
No.
It's a sad world we live in.
Damn.
I love you.
I love you so
much. Congratulations. Thank you for taking the time on your busy schedule.
Do anything for you.
I know you got all these shows on tap. And,
I love you.
You see I retweeted everything for you this week.
I love you. Thank you.
Where can they find you beside that?
Instagram? What are we doing?
Whitney.com.
I don't do the TikToks. I don't do the Snapchats. I do Instagram and Twitter. 36 years old.
What about the website?
WhitneyCummings.com.
That's it.
Sure.
No problem at all.
I love you.
You look gorgeous as usual.
Oh, gosh.
The best cheekbones in the business.
I really, people think they're fake.
I love them.
I should
best
just thank
cheekbones
you.
In the business.
And, you're best balls in the business. Between us, we're fucking unstoppable.
You're a team, a fucking duo. I love you.
I love you so much.
What's your next date? Anything?
July 30th, Netflix streaming my special.
That's it.
I'll book dates in a couple months.
Take your time, but hurry up, cocksuckers. The Lincoln Theater next Friday.
Oh, DC. Best theater in the world.
And Saturday, I'm at whatever, but that's sold out. But DC, you got tons of tickets left. All right, I want to thank my beautiful Whitney Cummings. I want to thank the Christ Killer, but most importantly, I want to thank you motherfuckers for always having our back. Don't forget about me either, all right? Don't forget what Uncle Joey told you in the beginning of the show. Summer's here. Uncle Joey's here. You got to be a gentleman. You got to clean your bumper before she sucks the fucking tailpipe. It's summer, guys. It's time to trim the fucking weeds and let the fucking tree stand tall like a fucking savage of death. Your fucking dick looks like the Addams Family. You don't need that. My friends over at Manscaped created the only tool you need to shave your nutsack and to keep the area around the fucking pogo stick of life nice and fucking trim. It's called the Lawnmower 2.0 for a reason. You know why? They threw away the 1.0. No more fucking momos in the back. It means it won't nick or snag your nutsack. Plus, it's perfect for travel. It's easy to charge. You can manscape when you're on the road, when you're on business, when you're playing golf, just in case you bump into a blowjob on the fucking golf course. You never know. You might hit a hole in nine, and there's always some fucking little fan there dying to suck some golf ball dick. Anyway, you could do it one-handed. I don't care if you lost your arm like the drummer from Def Leppard. Your nuts should still be shaven. Manscaped will get your fucking dick and your nutsack looking shiny and smooth. And if this is the first time you consider manscaping, they got the deal for you. Grab a pen. It's called the Perfect Package. Comes with the lawnmower and a safety razor, plus the crop preserver, especially formulated deodorant so your balls don't stink like a fucking giraffe's asshole. And they got the reviver, a spritz, that tones and refreshes the fucking dick and the balls to keep it cool right now, especially during the humid time. You know what I'm saying? With the Perfect Package, your pouch will be powdered and your pole will be fucking beautiful. Mwah! As they say in Europe, qu'est-ce que c'est? Listen, the Church family gets 20% off your first order when you use promo code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H, at manscaped.com. Listen, for the cheap seats. And if you order the Perfect Package, don't throw in the free travel bag. The same one I got. It's fucking beautiful leather. It's got secret compartments in there. When you use promo code CHURCH, you get a free travel bag. All right? That's manscaped.com. Use promo code CHURCH for 20% off your first order. And keep your balls fucking clean. The Church is also brought to you by CBDLion.com. You understand me? CBD Lion, listen, everybody wants to be Captain fucking CBD. But no more, all right? This is the way to go. CBDLion.com. Aren't you lucky Uncle Joey fucking found it for you? They make CBD products from start to finish. Whether you want a vape, cartridge, you want to shatter, they got you covered. And if you're not into smoking, listen, they got gummies, orange ones and the raspberry ones that'll put you in a different fucking planet. Or do the tinctures like Uncle Joey, right under your tongue an hour before you go to bed. Their products are fucking clean, Bobby. And they're not like the fucking fake things you see at liquor store and foot massage places and all that shit. CBD Lion is the real deal. You don't believe me? Go to CBDLion.com and check out their third-party lab results yourself. Listen, the Church family gets 20% off at checkout, all right? 20% off at checkout when you press in CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H. That's CBDLion.com/CHURCH at checkout. I want to thank Manscaped. I want to thank CBDLion.com. And I want to thank you little motherfuckers for always being there for me. Don't forget the 9th of August, the Lincoln Theater in D.C. We still got a few tickets available. The Borgata is sold out. And then the fucking Friday the 13th in September, I'm at the Majestic Theater in Dallas, smelling like gunpowder like the Kennedys. Tickets are left. And then the next night, I'm at San Antonio, Texas at the Aztec Theater. I love you, motherfuckers. Have a great week. It's Monday. Grab your fucking dick and go out there and knock door to door. You know what I'm saying? Tell him Uncle Joey sent you. Whitney Cummings, the Christ Killer. I love you. Kick this fucking muley.
I love you.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with me. Who'll leave you to learn that misery loves company. Wait and see. I mean, I wanna be around to see how he does it when he breaks your heart to bits. Let's see if the puzzle fits so fine. And that's when I'll discover that revenge is sweet. As I sit there applauding from a front row seat. When somebody breaks your heart like you